Welcome to Spinning It, a podcast about the road from high school football to the NCAA, the NFL, and Canton. Each week, Anthony Nippy Ames, along with pro quarterback Chris Hixon, explore questions about life lessons that come straight from the gridiron. Like, what does it take to raise a healthy, grounded player in this day and age? What lessons in leadership are mission critical for helping players thrive on and off the field? Oh, and Kyle Rowley also joins us to close out every episode to tell us what's on his mind. We're going to chat with experts, athletes, and coaches from all levels of the game, and take your calls on everything from college recruiting to striking that ideal sports life balance. Welcome to a football podcast about life, leadership, and the pursuit of excellence. This is Spinning It.
Welcome back to Spinning It, everyone. Today's guest is Coach Adam Austin. He's the third coach that we interviewed up at the coach convention in January, and he's going to be one of our first 5 to 6 episodes in our first season. I think I mentioned this with the Coach Corbin episode earlier that, you know, when I was looking around the room for guys to speak with and potentially interview, I was looking at the questions that they asked, and he was one of the only ones who talked about vulnerability in the quarterback and the position. And I thought, wow, what a interesting spin that's going to have on it, because nobody really talks about that. And I'd say one of the strengths of great athletes is their capacity to have that, you know, or figure out how to use that as an asset. It was interesting to hear him say that. So I was like, I want to hear his perspective on that. So Chris has his bio, and we're going to launch right into it. It's a great episode.
Yeah, I've known Adam for 3 years now, 4 years maybe. He, main reason is with Coach Mike Canales. He played for Coach Mike at Arizona. Obviously, if you're going to follow in the footsteps of your coach, you're going to be much like him. He's OCD about detail, and he's got a great way of grading his guys and so forth, and he's been at some pretty cool places. He's coached at where he got his full-time first gig was Midwestern State, and then that was in 2011. He's been coaching full-time since then. He's now with Tarleton. And they've been dominating ever since he came apart and been a part of that passing game attack over there. So I'm excited to get into this episode.
Yeah, he's got some interesting, I love the 4-point grading system on the football, but not going to ruin it for you. Enjoy, Adam Austin. We're going to dive right in with question number one. In the quarterback process, what are you looking for in a recruit? Like, what's the first trait, characteristic you're looking for when you're recruiting a quarterback?
Well, I have to preface this with the style of offense that we have. We have certain requirements of our offense. You know, we talked earlier about it where, for example, we take a lot of shots down the field.
Yeah.
And we're going to throw, you know, from opposite hash to the sideline to the field. We're going to take those shots. That's just a part of what we do. We're aggressive in throwing the ball down the field. So there's some non-negotiables that we look for a quarterback. Right. So that ball's got to pop out of his arm when we're watching it on film. That's first and foremost. And then you're looking for accuracy and how accurate he is in those things. That's like the very first thing we've got to look for. Mm-hmm.
Foot in the door.
Foot in the door. Does that ball pop off his arm? So, you know, sometimes, you know, nowadays with film, the film quality is usually pretty good, but sometimes you get some grainy stuff. So it really helps to be able to evaluate kids in person, to be able to watch them throw. And then you can say, okay, how quick is his release? Is he a long windup guy? Can he catch the ball and get it out quick? On quick game stuff, you know, obviously that's part of the game too, but not everybody can make those deep throws accurately. Well, that's asking a lot of a quarterback. It's a higher degree of difficulty.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you can't just come off the street and complete that at a high percentage, almost like we kind of expect to. That's just part of what we do. So you got to be able to have make those throws. And then you look at footwork and again, speed of release. And then, you know, a bonus for us, you know, to make our offense what we call a triple threat offense is to have a quarterback that can extend plays with their feet. Yeah. And that just makes the offense so much harder to defend with everything else that we do. Mm-hmm. And now you got to account for a quarterback that can make plays with his feet. So that's not a deal breaker, but that makes our offense that much more explosive and much more harder to defend. But when you're just purely looking at film, those are probably the three things that we're going to look at first before we dive into anything else.
Okay, so that's the seat of the table. What's the follow-up?
So then, okay, so follow up. And let me rewind that. We will look at production, whether it's high school or transfer or junior college, and look at their production rate. And then you start to dive, when their numbers are good, then you start to dive into the team and the competition that they play. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's not always a fair assessment to just look at, you know, numbers. For example, there was a quarterback that played at Incarnate Word a couple years ago that was in a wishbone offense. They just saw him at a camp, and the ball popped off his arm, and he can run. Obviously, he was in a wishbone or a triple option style offense. And then I think he won the Walter Payton Award in FCS and then transferred to Washington State and had a great year. You know, so they found a diamond in the rough in an offense where you wouldn't find that if you're just looking at stats. So
they still run the wishbone?
I don't know, wishbone or triple or wing T. I haven't
seen that in ages.
You don't have any gray in your hair. Have you seen wishbone on film?
No, I have not.
I've seen it.
You have?
Well, I'm older.
Yeah.
I ran it one year.
We had a version of it as a short yardage package when I was playing, but and then maybe in Pee Wee, I think we did it a little bit back in the or late 90s. But
What do they call that? We have the two back, can snap it to either one. It's single wing.
Single wing.
That's right.
Yeah, so those, you know, but the non-negotiables when we're pulling up the film is obviously the ball's got to pop up off their arm, and then the mobility piece and the accuracy and that sort of stuff. And then we're going to look at how fluid they are in their throwing motion and how quickly they can get it out.
So he mentioned they like to be threatening down the field, aggressive down the field. Earlier in the previous meeting, they took 99 beyond 20-yard shots this whole season, which is an astronomical number.
In 11 games.
Astronomical. Damn.
Now, according to PFF. I didn't do the breakdown myself, but you're going, you know, we're doing the PFF deal. And
that is a lot.
That's a lot of shots.
It's amazing when you think about it, because typically you 6 to 7 maybe, and that's in a throwing offense. Now, okay, so let's talk about the evolution of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I know we were kind of hitting up hard on 7-on-7, some of the lazy stuff that we have to correct later, right?
Yep.
But wouldn't you suggest that the because when we're younger, especially us, you know, at best we've got maybe one DB we're throwing against one-on-ones in you know, off-season training.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You probably have a receiver you're throwing to, and you can run some routes.
And it's your brother.
And it's your brother, right? Yeah. But now they got the 7-on-7 you can do this year round. So they get to look at a defense, see a defense, throw against constructive, you know, actual shapes of defenses that they're going to be facing.
Yep.
And they learn how to fit, you know, different plays or different throws. And I think there's a lot of value to it while we have to fight against, you know, the footwork. Right. So what I'm saying is with that very aggressive offense that you guys have, I mean, I would only think the evolution of that 7-on-7 only gives you guys a much better thrower.
Correct. And you can't replace those type of reps. Yes, you can't simulate the rush, but those it's like kids these days that you equate to playing a lot of video games, and a lot of that, those reps in Madden even, you know, just the cognitive part and understanding where they're trying to attack on the field, you encourage some of that sort of stuff. Those are reps that you can't always mimic. And then getting 7-on-7, there's a time and a place. Like for us, for example, we only do 7-on-7. Our guys will go out and do that in the summer on their own.
Yeah.
But when we get in the team segments, when we get in the spring ball and fall, we don't have 7-on-7. Ours is all team pass. So our quarterbacks never do. So when they get to us, there's really no more 7-on-7.
It's just true and all the way through. Yeah. So no Skelly.
Once we get the pads on, we stay away from it.
That's 7-on-7.
That is. I like that too.
Because it's just what you have to accept and kind of submit yourself to.
And so the reason we believe in it and I really like it is because everybody in practice on defense and offense knows this is a passing drill. So you're going to get the best pass rush.
Right.
You're going to get the toughest coverages, all the different disguises that the defense can show. And our defense uses it more like a third down period, third medium. So you're going to get all the exotic stuff.
Throw in a little run in there to keep those backers on.
100%. And we'll do the same thing in our run period. We're going to throw it every once in a while too. So
keep them honest.
That's good.
But we break our practice up. We'll start with a 10-15 minute team pass period. We'll take a 5 minute break, and then we come back with a run RPO period.
You know, one of the things we're doing the round table earlier, you spoke up and you were talking about the relationship you have with your quarterback, and you were the only one who mentioned something about the vulnerability of the quarterback, which, you know, for me, had I had something like that in college, I think it would have been helped. It was always player coach, yeah. And that was it. And that was the job. And, you know, quarterback, you know, I don't know if you experienced this, Chris, and you experienced this when you were playing, you felt like you had to put on kind of a persona of a quarterback 100%. Sometimes. And you're not bringing the vulnerability to the huddle per se. No, you're not bringing it anywhere. And I thought that was a really interesting thing. And I'd love for you to expand on that and what you mean by that. And
yeah. So
the value of that.
100%. There is, you know, one of the things that we always preach in our quarterback room is to never let them see you sweat, you know, so you don't, you know, but that's on the field.
That's America in a lot of ways,
100%.
Too. 100%. Right?
Yeah. But when we're in the quarterback room, I want them to feel loose. We'll share stories of what makes them feel uncomfortable or tough times they've had in their life. Because what I want them to do is analyze the feelings that they're going through when they're going through tough times,
mm-hmm.
and then analyze how you're going to respond to those feelings, mm-hmm. and just always trying to put them in those uncomfortable situations, at least mentally,
mm-hmm.
to go through them so you can live in it and kind of evaluate how you respond to those situations. What does it do to your heart rate? What does it do to your anxiety and all that sort of stuff? And then so that way, whenever you get to that situation again, whether it's in a game or just in life, you're able to control it a little bit better, mm-hmm. and respond a little bit better in a way that's going to help you get to the next step of wherever you're trying to go. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that Mike Canales did a heck of a job with me, because I came in as a walk-on. So I had, obviously, I had to put on a persona. Like,
yeah.
You know, I had to really earn it. If it was, you know, I came in as a ninth-string walk-on QB at Arizona, and this was before Coach Canales got there, but my goal every day was to do something, one thing, a little bit better than the guy ahead of me, whether it was freaking tying my shoes or asking one more question in a meeting. I had to find a way to compete to get better. When I was in position to actually compete to be the starter, there was a whole new set of things that I had to overcome where I said, okay, I finally earned it. It's been a few years. I got put on scholarship. Mm-hmm. Now I'm actually battling. And then I wasn't named the starter. And then they named a younger kid after me. And then to start. And then I was kind of humbled again and had to learn how to reset my mind. And that was another tough situation. But by me being upset about the decision to start somebody else and the pout about it and the complain and say, well, the whole team thinks I should be the starter. Mm-hmm. Why didn't I get picked? And instead of complaining about all that stuff, what was that getting me in the ultimate? So, again, I had to kind of reset my mind and say, okay, I got to, again, do everything that they're asking me to do.
And you got to be sensitive to those things when you're making – when you got three or four guys in the room and they all want the same, and we're all competitive, right?
100%.
We don't like watching football games on the sideline, right?
Yes.
So I think that's an important aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess I got off into a tangent there, but the number one thing in order to be successful as a quarterback is being able to have that thick skin.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have the thick skin, I want to try to develop it and talk about those things and say it's okay to have those feelings.
Yeah,
it's okay every once in a while. You know, to the team, you're going to have a different persona and all that sort of stuff when it's nut cutting time. But honestly, the best leaders are able to show their human side, you know.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
How you get
for
you
sure
know, so
for sure
ultimately, yes, you know, I'm at Tarleton State and the guys are going to have pride in Tarleton State, but ultimately you're playing for the guys next to you, and if you're somebody that always has a persona and you're kind of this machine and kind of machine like and kind of fake, guys read into that too.
They feel that even if they can't put language to it.
And the quickest way is to just, you know, I'll make a joke or something,
sure.
or I'll make fun of myself just to break the ice to the quarterback, say it's okay to be goofy and nobody's perfect and we're in this together.
I think that's valuable.
I've got two major points, right? One, your process there creates such a huge bond.
Yes.
Because you understand that you're all being vulnerable. Everybody's offered something to the table in the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while you guys all sit there and listen and you actually learn a good empathetic side. But as you guys bond and you gain this trust up, you can trust me scenario. Mm-hmm. And I got your back, you got mine. You know, it's just, it's so good for one, the quarterback room, because you're right. It's super competitive. Everybody wants the one thing to start. But it's this thing that we're still a team when it comes down to it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're going to get the best out of me. Because you also said, this was the other second point. You learn to teach yourself to compete at least in one thing where you were going to be better than somebody else.
Yes.
So you started building a discipline, it seems like to me, where that carries up. Well, first of all, it's probably carrying over to right now, today.
Yes,
in your
100%.
Life is, 100%. And the way you
exactly.
back and into your guys and you create that, you know, you get your chance to leave a mark on a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be just like you, carrying on that discipline
right
daily. So anyway, just those are the two majors that I heard. I love football so much, but I really love talking to guys that coach quarterback.
Yeah.
Because it's such a different animal than the rest of the
positions. It totally is. You got to
coddle the brain. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to teach leadership. You got to teach them certainly the skill work. But and you love talking to masters like that we're getting a chance to talk to that deal with guys that are at a big level. In fact, speaking about a big level, you just said you landed a big recruit. Can we talk about it?
Yeah, I don't think I can talk about
it. But it's special, though.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Yeah. That's great. Awesome. That's great.
Recruiting, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I've known you for a couple of years now, and I get a chance to hear how a lot of guys recruit, but Mike Canales is a guy that I trust a lot.
And yes.
I get to hear how he does it, the bag of tools that he carries.
And
he's got that one special move, right?
Yeah.
What's your special move in recruiting to create the relationship where you stand out from everybody else and that guy wants to come to your school?
Your training? So one of the things that I've found talking to with the day and age of the portal now, I'm talking to college coached kids. One of the things that I bring up right away is how I develop and how I grade the quarterbacks every day. And there's never going to be a day that goes by where you don't understand where you're at on the depth chart, what you need to do to get better. It's because we talk about it. You get a grade sheet. You get a whole printout of spots on the field that you threw to that day, how accurate you were. And again, I stole this from Coach Canales, but we've got an accuracy GPA chart where like a 4.0 throw was a perfect in stride. The receiver didn't have to adjust, or you let him away from a defender. That would be like a 4.0.
Yeah.
3.0 is a receiver has to slightly adjust. So he kind of made you look good on that throw.
Mm.
Or you had a deep ball, but he had to slow down for it and then got tackled as opposed to scoring.
Right.
You know, so you're going to get a 3 for that on accuracy. And then a 2 is something where the quarter or the receiver had to leave his feet, made you look really good. Receiver was more on the end of the play than the quarterback throwing it.
Right.
Receiver made you look good. So that you get a 2.0 for that. 1.0 is an incomplete pass. And then a 0 would be like a forced ball or interception.
Mm-hmm.
So I give them a GPA for every quadrant on the field. So throws past 20, outside the left hash, over the middle, and then outside the right hash, and then it goes, there's 9 different quadrants that I've got. So you get a GPA of each spot on the field, and then it's broken down into what routes you threw, and then you have an overall GPA of the day. So our guys compete and who's the most accurate of the day, and then they'll even check me on it every once in a while. Like, Coach, I think that was a 4 ball. So we'll go back and discuss it. And if they can convince me, okay, what's the reasoning, then maybe sometimes maybe I can change it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Our Cal Raleigh would live in that world.
But at times, the whole room would say, okay, no, that was definitely a 3 or a 2. Or, you know, the ones and zeros are easy to grade. So we'll do that. And then, you know, I talked about earlier today, too, about there's a degree of difficulty in some of the things that we ask our quarterbacks to do. We're not just any, you know, maybe an incoming freshman can just come in and throw a hitch that's wide open, you would think, pretty consistently, you know. So when you're talking about our level, but, you know, there's throws that are maybe a whole shot, you know, in the cover two or down the sideline. That's a degree of difficulty that's
right.
an added, you know, not everybody can do. Or maybe a dig in between a window between two linebackers, or maybe they had to avoid the rush and throw for a first down. That's added degree of difficulty. So if you're doing those things at a consistent basis, then you're going to get a better grade, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then we also go through, okay, when we get into team segments, are we moving the ball efficiently? So you get some efficiency points. So that there's something to be said, you know, there's something to be said that every time this kid's in, we just move the ball and score. Whether it's in practice, whether you're with the first, second, or third team, you know, those things don't, they kind of correlate with each other.
I mean, what you're saying is, you know, in the crew, when you're talking to that recruit, he's listening to you and he's saying, I'm going to get an honest shot. Number one, I'm going to get very quick feedback and I'm going to know daily where I'm at. What else would you want to hear?
Knowing your next step and walking around with that and knowing that is vital, because one of the things that sports offers is instant feedback. We talked about 100%. The joke. We joke the universe corrects you.
Yeah, right? The universe has, and you would, the coach, you would be a part of the universe.
Right. Yeah, the universe is always right.
The universe will correct you.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it's so right. It's so true. So yeah, it's.
And so is your coach.
Right. Yeah. Even if he's wrong, it's right.
Right.
You know. But I love that approach where, like, the guys know he knows he's feel like, I'm getting an honest coach here.
Yeah.
I may not be used to this.
I've kind of gotten to this formula for the past couple of years, and what you find is they're hungry to get that piece of paper or that packet that says everything that they've got and their grades. And then, you know, if they have something to dispute, you know, we can talk about it. We can discuss it. I'll pull it up on film. And then You know, and then, you know, I had a quarterback this past year that, man, he just struggled throwing to his left because sometimes he would just over-rotate too much mm-hmm. before he threw it. But he was somebody that if I reminded him that he was doing that, he's a quick fixer.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, when maybe he's throwing a lot of balls, he's getting a little tired.
Yeah.
He would have these tendencies. And now all I had to do was remind him, and he fixed it, and he's fine. So with guys like that, you have to continue to look at his throwing mechanics even throughout the season.
Was it his feet or is it shoulders or both?
Both. So obviously, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, the new style of throwing where it's more rotational, and I get all that, but every time I see that film of these guys throwing with that style of throwing, it's always the stationary targets. I don't see guys, and especially, you know, as a right-handed QB, throwing to my left, opening up and leading them. You know, they're having to throw across their body a little bit, and there's not as much consistency. No. There's some room for missing. And I've had a quarterback that threw like that, and it was always, for him, it was always throwing to the left because he always wanted to, he closed off his front hip and was more rotational. And so that's just different styles, and I just haven't seen it where people can complete passes at a consistent level or a consistent basis doing that style. Because for me, it's always ground up. You start with your feet. You talked about tying your footwork into every pass. We do the same thing.
Yeah.
And now I'll adjust that by quarterback. So if a quarterback feels more comfortable in a certain style of footwork, as long as it matches up with our protections, we can, and timing, 100% timing. But some quarterbacks
side step like a Tom Brady slide. 100%. They call it the mid step.
Yes.
I used to call it a skip step, which I love for quick game.
Yes. And so in this day and age, because we're in gun, you know, I grew up under center West Coast with Canales and had to make all checks and all that sort of stuff. But we don't require that of our quarterbacks anymore. They're in the gun every snap. So if this quarterback ends up being my starter and he struggles with his footwork, well, let's find something that he's more comfortable in because he needs to play now. And we need to get production out of him. As long as I'm on the same page with our O-line coach and his launch points at the right depth so we're getting proper protection, then we'll mess with the footwork.
So you're a QB expert, right? So quick game to the right.
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell them to do with their feet? First of all, we throw non-strings or strings. Or is that, again, per quarterback?
Hashtag no laces.
Okay. So then we can just quit, flip, and rip.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. That's what we drill. All right, so that's good. An everyday drill for us. Even though we don't throw a lot, but when we do require it, that's another skill that you sometimes wouldn't think about. That should be an easy pass, but there's some coaching points that you can use that I use to make it a little bit easier. It's kind of like a holder on a field goal. It's you should be able to do this.
You go no laces, really?
We go no laces.
Oh, for quick game and shotgun?
Yeah.
It's laces right away for me.
If you're messing around with doing that, you're not getting the ball. So
it's not coming out fast.
Really?
You know, unless it's a slant, then you got to.
Yes. Okay. Slant versus man.
On the one.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
Or a hitch to the outside. I mean, you got to get the ball out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But I'll also say this. You know what you really want to screw the quarterback? Get a laceless football. I have one.
Yeah.
So if I got a guy that got a break,
yeah,
we're going laceless.
Laces.
And this is that time of year where I do it.
Yeah.
I've got a 4-month window where I can actually change people. Yep. Well, we skip in spring, but then we get
interesting.
Back to that. Yeah.
One thing I'll do just during our pat and go, you know, I'll give them good snaps, easy snaps, and I'll just have them just catch it with one hand and get it out.
Oh, great.
Catch it with one hand and get it out. But another thing that we'll do our quick screen drill, and we'll work good snaps and bad snaps, but I time it from catch to throw.
Yeah.
So as soon as they catch it to the when the ball is out, and they compete to who can get it out the fastest. And obviously, it's got to count. It's got to be accurate and all those sorts of things. But the coaching point, like on the perimeter screens and everything, Coach Canales taught me this. There's a strike zone on your receiver. So if you teach a bubble screen where your receiver is like stealing second base, well, he's going to give you his numbers
right on
his back. So quarterback catch, get your eyes to your target and throw a strike through his numbers. So you got to have some tempo to your feet and all that sort of stuff. So – you know, in the gun, you can get some snaps that could, you know, at our level, our snaps should be pretty consistent.
Yeah.
But I've been at places where sometimes they spray it around a little bit. So we work on bad snaps and all that sort of stuff, being able to do that.
You know, we used to play, it was first one to 10 catches, right? Mm-hmm. So we'd separate out 10 to 15 yards and, you know, you have multiple sets of quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we would sit there and play, you know, first 10 catches wins. You know, you got to do 10 pushups if you're the lesser. And anyway, they're not doing strings because they're trying to compete. They don't even care about strings anymore.
Yes.
So after this podcast, you and I can go work on that, and I'll show you.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So I'd always just say, you know, tempo your feet eyes to your target and then get the ball out, you know. But so feet, eyes, ball type progression.
I would imagine like a large part of our demographic that's going to see this podcast and listen mm-hmm. to it, it's going to be dads.
Right.
It's going to be quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole recruiting process, because I know you went through it, right? For old as I am, I went through it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what is happening?
Right.
It's a black hole. The communication, I hear good things and then it goes silent. It's just weird stuff. So one advice, and also kind of explain how it works so that maybe a dad can understand better or a quarterback can understand better how that process works.
You know, it's dependent upon the program and where they're at in their process. Some programs you'll see, and you can find it on social media where I got an offer from this place, and you can see that this school is just offering a ton of, they put out a ton of offers out there.
Yeah.
And while obviously not all those players can accept those offers and go play there, they had 500 to 1,000 kids are offered out of your class. So early on in the process, I wouldn't get discouraged if you're not getting those offers, but you're still getting at least a little bit of feedback or invites to camps by a coach that's saying, hey, I want to see you, or I'm going to come watch you in practice and that sort of stuff. Like for us, we're a little bit slower in the offering phase, but we want to make sure that we're getting, from our standpoint, everybody's going to have some flaws. We want to make sure we're getting the type of guy that we need and minimize, you know, any flaws that wouldn't make the prospect something that we were looking for. So you try to go through all that process, and that takes time. So some places may say, okay, I watched this highlight. It's good enough. I'm going to throw an offer just to get my name in the hat. Well, in my experience in recruiting, as long as you're honest with the kid and keep an open line of communication and stay involved, I mean, you don't. Our philosophy is, if we're going to give you an offer, it's committable. So they're
good credibility out there, by the way.
And just being so honest in the whole process.
Offer, like you said, a 10 offer, or maybe not 10 to a quarterback, but you might see, you know, 3 or 4 offers out there, and it's like, it's crazy.
Yes. So and there's different philosophies and there's different reasonings by, you know, just depending upon what that school has to compete with in conference and in what areas they recruit and kind of the area in which they recruit. Because there's some schools at our level that only recruit basically within a 6-hour radius of their school, because maybe that's what the budget allows. Or maybe they just had more success getting kids in that area and they don't want to risk spending a limited budget going nationwide to recruit. Where I'm at right now, we have the capability of recruiting nationwide, so we kind of have a little bit of an advantage for that, but some schools can't. So the recruiting process, man, if there was an answer.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's so cold, but somehow you pop out the other end.
And now what we're finding and what we're learning too as we go is that we have a plan going into the recruiting season when the season ends, but now with the portal, that plan can change in a minute.
Consistently, everyone's in the portal is like.
Do you guys tier your guys, or is it just a straight ladder?
We tier them.
So you have windows.
Yes.
So what do you tell tier one, number two? And just for the audience out there.
Yes.
So that it's their top window of guys that they like, and they've got them in order in that tier. Mm-hmm. And number two, what does coach tell them?
If they're in tier one, we've identified that these guys can help us win.
So you already tell them they're in tier one.
They'll know because they've gotten an offer. We'd only offer those guys, the tier one guys. And then so we've identified them to the point to where if we've offered you, we'll accept it. So if there's only one spot, one scholarship spot, and let's say we offered 3 guys, well, we'll take the first one that commits kind of thing.
Oh, and that kind of creates the frenzy to get it done first.
Yes.
And you feel like already you've identified either one of these guys to make us win.
These guys can help us, yes. So if they're a tier one for us, they know it. They've got an offer. But they also know that, hey, you're not the only one, and there's only one spot. You know, some other positions you can recruit multiple guys in multiple positions. And for quarterbacks, though, or maybe you are looking to bring in 2 guys. So, hey, we're looking to bring in 2 guys. I've offered 4 guys. The first 2 that say they're coming, we have to accept. So I'm not doing that to pressure you, but this is just the realistic timeline.
Well, yeah, obviously. You got to do you, too.
Yes, right. That's how serious we are in you, but we believe – all 4 of you guys can help us win, and that's just the nature of the business. So,
portal-wise, how often? Because I mean, look, the guys that are coming out of high school, the first thing you hear the dad say, maybe sometimes the quarterback, the son, but the dad will say, "Man, this portal. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're getting kind of ripped off. You know, we're getting pushed down because of the portal." Which I do think, I do agree with that, because it's an easier getting older guy, you know, and I agree with that. So, but my question, numbers wise, how many guys over the past 3 years have you guys taken out of the portal?
Quarterback wise, out of the portal in the past 2 years?
Or average per year?
Average per year.
Is it one per year?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So now how many guys would you take out of high school in the average past couple of years?
Well, we're in a different boat. We transitioned from Division II to FCS.
Oh, so you gotta get up there quick.
So we have to build the team. So we had to build the team up quick, and we
so somewhat of an unfair question.
Correct. For us, for us, ideally, we would like to, again, with the portal, it
I
also
just wanted to be clear so that not every dad gets upset right away.
Yeah.
It's a fair question, because you know, you gotta bring up to snuff right away. You gotta have dudes that can compete right away. Because you know, the quarterback quite often, you got to build them up a little bit, get them right, get them physically right, get them mentally right, get used to the offense.
Yeah.
So I totally get your answer.
Past couple of years, we had to go older. And our plan this year after the season was to bring in a freshman quarterback and develop him. Our quarterback that we got out of the portal last summer had 3 years left. You know, he got freshman of the year honors and had a great year. And what was even better was that he had 3 years left to develop and even become even better. And we were returning everybody basically on offense. But the season ends, we go by a couple weeks, and then get a call, say, hey, coach, I think I'm going to go in the portal. And so now that changes everything. We already had a plan. I'm going to go see these senior quarterbacks. And I was actually just finished watching a high school practice talking, you know, to a quarterback. And I liked him a lot. And then that day we got the call from our starter and saying that he was going to go in the portal.
Wow.
So that immediately changed our whole deal. So while I was on the road, so then our mentality is, well, okay.
What's that like for you to put all that time into someone and just have them?
That's the nature of adapt or die. That's just the nature of it, which is why, we've seen this coming. So it is it's very important to be able to have a process to evaluate quarterbacks, but then also get them up to speed within our offense. So we've got to be sharp in our communication, what we expect of our quarterbacks, because this could lean the way the portal is now. This could kind of go towards every year you're breaking in. You know, Division II, FCS, Group of Five, even some, we're all, we joke about it, but it really is. And even junior college, we're all just junior colleges for some of these kids, where they get some playing time and then they just move on to the next biggest thing. So
crazy.
It's become it was business like in college. It's actually more professional than high school. So you do have to treat it as an athlete. You do, because there's more required of you and more time constraint. But now you're adding the money into it, and now this is truly a business.
Do you guys offer NIL? Do you do that now?
We have some collectives.
Is that mostly booster and alum supported, or how's that work?
You know, I couldn't even tell you. I don't know the nuts and bolts. We're really not allowed to know about it. We just have these. We have a collective, and
he didn't
they
answer
kinda,
that question. Just put that easily.
Yeah,
I couldn't even. Honestly, I don't like. So the name of our collective is like Bleed Purple. So I'm assuming it is made up of alumni and former business that maybe have successful businesses and stuff that want to get involved in the NIL stuff.
Do you have a curveball question you can ask? Just a hot seat question.
Who's the best quarterback to ever play?
Best quarterback to ever play.
Who's the best all time?
I mean, you got to say Brady.
No doubt.
But he's got the best career. How about this? If someone could say to you, you can have this person's ability, right? Because I'm not going to say Brady's ability is the best. I think he's the best quarterback. But if you could have someone's skill set, and you could go out and play like them, who would it be?
You know, football's obviously about right now, right here, right now, and what's relevant and what can you do right now. So I really like Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Okay, here we go. Let's go.
Shit. Wow.
Right. We're going to go body parts. Ready? NFL quarterback that you'd like to have their brain.
Brady.
Heart.
Recent, like right now?
Anything comes out.
Breeze.
Doesn't sweat.
Brady. Yeah, I can name the same guy twice, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sure, yeah.
No, would that be him? What if he said?
No.
Once you pull that guy's name out of the hat, it's over. But like Joe Montana, okay, I'll give you a quick one. Right? Yeah. So my coach used to spend a lot of time coaching San Fran in the offseason. When, you know, when they'd do the coaching shared programs and they would go up and work. And he got to work with, you know, Steve Young.
Montana.
He said every time you shook his hand, no matter what's going on that day, whether it's practice or whatever, there is no sweat.
Oh, no, literally no sweat.
No sweat. The guy's just, his nerves, his heart rate, just like
Montana.
Yes. Yeah. You almost have to put him on is it EKG?
Yeah.
He's a flatline.
Just yes.
We need a touchdown, and I've only got 3 seconds. No big deal.
His hair was always perfect, right?
Everything's perfect.
His nickname in college was Joe Montanalo because he looked like Barry Manilow.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Montanalo.
Montanalo.
He was like seventh string in college.
Yeah, he almost quit. He almost went home. 25 touchdowns and 25 interceptions as a collegiate.
Wow. Well, there's some, one of our coaches was just telling me, what's that? I couldn't even tell you the name of it, but there's something about that where you have the same amount of interceptions to touchdowns.
Yeah.
They call it the something effect. And they have a whole rating system on QBs. But yes, I forget the name of it.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah. Oh, man. I forget what they called it.
You know, let us know. Message us. Let us know what they
that's Yeah. But
any parting shots? Anything else you want to know? Anyone, dads, recruits to know?
Yeah, it's obviously, you know, some people are blessed where you're going to get a bunch of offers and you're going to have the pick. But it's, you know, like, for example, for me, it was a long process. And I went to a high school where, we won 3 games my senior year.
Oh, man.
Wasn't highly recruited. It was the most games we had won in 8 years. Like, three games was a lot for us.
Where'd you come out of?
Mundelein, Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, not highly recruited. Growing up, I only watched the big time, you know, Big Ten college football. So, that's all I do. And then the NFL, the Bears, and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I had an offer from Eastern Illinois. I got to watch Tony Romo play. He was a senior when I was a senior in high school. But, you know, they said, well, we need a commitment out of you, or it's going to be you or this other guy from Wisconsin. And I was like, well, I'm not quite sure yet. And so they took the commitment from the other guy. And then I was left with some Division III opportunities. And I had some coaches that took us to some big-time ball games. And I said, I can play at this level. I really believe I can. And so when I had the opportunity to walk on at Arizona, I had a cousin that played on the hockey team there. And he said, well, if there's a place you're going to walk on, this would be a good spot. I think What years did he play hockey? Or
what years were you at?
I was there from 02 to 06.
Very cool. We were there at the same time. I played for the Rattlers.
Okay. When I got done playing, I tried out with the Rattlers, and then it was in 07.
Okay.
And they said I made the team, but then they didn't play that year because they were doing the restructuring
because they had lost the NBC contract.
Yeah, and so they didn't play that year, so I'm like, all right, I guess this is a sign, you know, and there was this All-American Football League that was made the Houston team. But then they didn't get going. And so I'm like, that's a sign to hang it up and get into coaching.
Smart move.
Yeah.
You were the quarterback, man. The way that you know it, obviously you got under some great tutelage with Mike Canales. What a great founding father to your coaching career to take his tools.
100%.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome.
Man. Yeah, man.
This is like day one, you know.
Yeah.
Hit a homer again.
That's great.
That's great.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Sure, right, brother.
Likewise. Yeah.
Listen, kick butt this year.
Awesome. Absolutely. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yep. Follow you.
I got to call my guy now.
It's time for Kyle Rowley's RPO.
Holy cow. That was a lot of information. I'm just listening to you guys, and I'm like, I would have loved this podcast if I'm a high school kid coming up trying to figure out, like, what to do. We heard everything from how many shots coaches taking downfield, nuanced drills, examples, bad snap drill, one hand drill, no laces drill, time screen competitions. We talked about the recruiting process, how offers work, big budget, how that works, how it plays in, the portal, the NIL. Oh my God, I was just like sitting here going, man, I wish I had this information. So, man, coach, you really brought it. What stood out to me, I never even like thought of this, is creating a culture that allows for vulnerability in the quarterback room. I mean, I'm just still trying to soak that in because I don't think people understand these rooms, the quarterback room. Stick the 6 most competitive guys vying for the same position in the same room every day. And have them, you know, chilling there in their sandals, watching film, picking each other, you know, while coach picks you apart in front of the guys you're trying to battle with. But, you know, it reminds me of having brothers. I grew up with 3 younger brothers, and man, you can't avoid, you know, they're going to know your weaknesses while they're also your strongest competition in the backyard. So it's funny, like competition is not the opposite of vulnerability, is kind of what it made me think of. And that's how you build these bonds of brotherhood between guys that, you know, aren't necessarily of the same bloodline. That's just, man, I'm just floored by that. The other thing, man, that stuck out is QB GPAs. Okay, so I'm hearing this. Coach is a walk-on, fighting for a job. He's not named the starter once he gets in the conversation. Then he has to battle back. And so what he's done is created a culture almost like from the mentality of a walk-on. Like, hey, man, these guys should be able to know where they stand. I'm going to grade them on every throw. They're going to know exactly why they're second string, third string, or why they're the starter, or how close they are to being replaced by a dude that's practicing better than them. That is amazing. I think that's why he can have that kind of vulnerability in the quarterback room, because everyone knows where everyone stands. So it's not about kissing up or putting on a bravado. It's like, dude, just make your throws, make your reads, keep getting better. Man, I'm just floored by that. Great job, coach. This is my RPO, but I'm not that pissed off at you. But I am going to make that T-shirt, Adapt or Die, coming to my Etsy store soon, all right? Adapt or Die. Love it. That's my RPO, guys. Great job, coach. Appreciate you.
Well, Kyle delivered on that RPO. I think that's why we hired him, right? You know?
Yeah, for once, he actually impressed me.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, I wouldn't add anything to that. Kyle, you earned your wings for at least two or three more episodes, wouldn't you say, Chris?
Great job,
yeah,
Kyle.
Yeah. Awesome. Good job, stuff. Kyle. Yeah, all right. We're still watching you, though.
Yeah. Oh, he's not.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. You got to earn it. All right, bye. Till next week, guys.
Follow us on social media @SpinningItPod, and be sure to subscribe anywhere you get podcasts.